This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As a commercial business, trampoline courts have become increasingly popular. Companies like Elevate and Sky Zone have locations in Champaign-Urbana, Peoria, Bloomington-Normal, and Springfield. But trampolines can have a darker side, as documented back in 2019 by Indianapolis TV station WTHR.
Fire and ambulance?
Yes, I think I need an ambulance at Sky Zone.
13 investigates check 911 calls to local trampoline parks.
What's going on there?
We got a kid with a broken leg, visibly broken.
And we discovered more than 36 calls this year alone.
Fire and ambulance, what's the address of your emergency?
I'm calling because my son is at a trampoline park in Indianapolis, and I believe he's broken his leg.
For injuries serious enough to warrant paramedics.
What's the problem there?
Kid had a potential broken leg. We need an ambulance.
Is he awake right now?
He is awake. He's screaming.
Wow. Okay. The American Academy of Pediatrics warns against the use of trampolines for anything but, quote, supervised training programs for gymnastics, diving, or other competitive sports, end quote. It is in this environment that last month, in a relatively obscure state government publication called the Flynn Report, there was a notice that the Illinois Department of Labor had adopted emergency rules regulating trampoline courts and providing for their inspection. This was made possible by recent changes to the Amusement Ride and Attraction Safety Act, which covers everything from carnival rides to ski lifts, bungee cords, and the like. Joining us to talk more about what these new rules will entail is Thomas Coe. He's Chief Ride Inspector at the Illinois Department of Labor. Thomas, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And I should mention, we contacted SkyZone's corporate office, inviting them to join our conversation or send a statement. As of airtime today, we had not heard back. Nevertheless, you can join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. If you visited one of these trampoline parks, trampoline courts, what was your experience? 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. So I'd just like to begin. So why is the Department of Labor adding the safety of trampoline parks to its sort of inspection portfolio?
Generally, it occurs because of a higher injury rate in this sector. And it was added through legislation. So it wasn't necessarily that the department took it up more than a legislator did.
Sure, fair enough. So I guess maybe you can just talk about what are some of the new safety requirements in the law and in the rules that were adopted last month?
The two things that are the biggest points to be made is that we do require all the courts to follow a design and operation standard, which exists for many other amusement attractions, and those standards are put together by the American Society of Testing and Materials, ASTM for short. The trampoline standard from them recently went under a huge upgrade. It went from like 10 pages to almost 70 pages. And it is a very in-depth document. So we reference that in the rules. And then we also require that observation of the activities is more controlled. In the past, there really has been no how many employees do you need to have present to control a trampoline court. This is spelled out in the new document. And hopefully along with that and training, we'll be able to mitigate some of the risks of injury.
Yeah, I think I read in there one attendant or assistant for every 32 customers, and the manager has to be at least 21 years old and have first aid and CPR certification or something like that, and has to be present. So I wonder, when the department gets a new area of responsibility like this, as with trampoline parks, how do you go about preparing to carry that out?
It's very difficult. When we first get the notification that we're going to be inspecting that specific business class, we reach out to other states. And this is done through an organization which has that capability. It is abbreviated NARSO. It's a great resource for all the states. They can pool their knowledge and develop these rules. Right now, there are not a lot of states that regulate trampoline courts. And if you look at the history of it, trampoline courts went through phases where they were very popular and then they kind of faded away. And now recently they have become much more popular. I think looking back at our research, there's roughly 30 to 35 corporate franchises. These are the bigger businesses. And most of those came into the state in the last 3 years.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. So what actually goes into inspecting something like a trampoline park? I'm picturing, are you or your colleagues or their contractors, are you out there with a torque wrench checking bolts or, you know, using a magnifying glass, Sherlock Holmes style on the netting or webbing? What does it actually look like when you're in the field? One of these inspections is being done.
In the field, it's a multi-step process. So each business is required to hire a third-party individual, and this is basically an industry expert to come in and look at every nut and bolt, every weld, every piece of equipment that's present in the park. The department then follows up with its own inspections because we have additional requirements on the employees, and we do our inspection kind of on top of it, multiple sets of eyes. We will double check that all the information that was found on the third party inspection has been addressed, and then we will issue a permit. And the reason that we require a third party inspector, and multiple other states do this also, is that we're kind of limited on our resources, manpower. And if you went into a trampoline court and started from the ground up, you could spend multiple days there before you have looked at everything.
No, that makes a lot of sense. It seems like it'd be a very labor-intensive task. So what are some red flags for you on an inspection, I wonder, when you go out into the field? Are there, you know, telltale signs that maybe go across industries, you know, from the, I know bungee jumping is not as popular, but, you know, bungee jumping, ski lifts, amusement rides, all the various areas that the department is responsible for keeping tabs on?
We're looking for manufactured required documentation. That's probably one of the biggest things. And the third party also looks at that. Different types of rides have different requirements. Some of them require additional inspection that has a very specific skill set. So that's the first thing we look for, is to make sure that they have their documentation in place. As things move forward, if we find issues, you know, we're going to look a little bit harder at the equipment. Generally, when we walk in the door, it's the condition of the equipment that we're mattered with the most, to make sure that everything's up to par and safe to use.
I mean, I wonder if it's, you know, something like, I'm picturing like a, you know, a traveling carnival or something. If the paint's worn down because they're not taking care of XYZ, then maybe you'll look a little harder at some other aspects because you think, maybe they're just not, if they can't do the little things right, maybe they're not doing the big things right. Or do you have to not, you know, take that out of your mind and approach everything sort of clean slate?
We try our best to give everybody the same amount of credibility when we walk in the door. But as you mentioned, if things progressively get worse and worse, then we look harder and harder just to make sure that everything does get corrected before it's open to the public.
Yeah. All right, let me just take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. We're speaking about some recent changes to Illinois law and regulation that are adding trampoline courts to the areas that are regulated and inspected by the Illinois Department of Labor, which is also already responsible for inspecting everything from carnival rides to ski lifts and things like that. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. We're speaking about this with Thomas Coe, who's Chief Ride Inspector at the Illinois Department of Labor. So I love that job title, Chief Ride Inspector. I think it's every junior high kid on a field trip to Great America's dream, right? Because they just picture you just get to ride on rides all the time. How does someone actually get into your line of work? Are there commonalities in background or education or prior jobs of people who do this work?
As an inspector, from that standpoint, it's mostly a mindset of mechanical aptitude. That's the biggest hurdle that you have to have. You have to have the mindset to be able to look at something and figure out, why is it this way? Why does it work? How does it work? And is it working correctly? So most of our inspectors have that background. That we have a couple, actually two of our inspectors were aircraft mechanics in the armed forces. So that gave them basically 100% of what was required in this job.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's not a job with a lot of margin for error, you would imagine, doing aircraft maintenance for the military. I wonder, is there a busy season in your line of work? Does it pick up in summer, slow down in winter, that sort of thing?
We, as time has progressed, and since I've been here, you know, I've only been here a short time, there's very little downtime. Because of the huge increase in the indoor centers, there's basically no off time. Our busiest season is during the carnival season, and that usually starts the end of April, 1st of May, and will run until mid-August. We have no spare time during that time period. It slows down a little bit and then it picks up real quick because we have the haunted houses. And then shortly after that is the renewals for the year round indoor facilities that have to be set up to operate January 1st.
Sure. Sure. So I guess I wonder if we're coming to the end of our time here. Surely you all swap stories among inspectors. I wonder what's the most dangerous thing you or maybe one of your colleagues has ever found on an inspection. There's maybe just the most head scratching, example of something.
That's kind of a tough one.
Or is there doctor patient confidentiality?
Generally, when we find critical flaws, it's structural. It's physically a broken weld. Those are the most critical issues that we run into. Next to that is just physical wear and tear on the machines.
Sure.
That we look at. But the highest height that we see is when things are broken, physically broken.
Sure. Well, last question. I wonder just briefly if you have any advice for us everyday people trying to enjoy these sorts of attractions. Are there anything danger signs we should be looking out for as consumers?
Generally, if you're going to go to a facility that has an amusement attraction or an amusement ride, you want to look for our inspection sticker, and it should be on or adjacent to the attraction or the ride. It's a little 4x4 sticker. It has the state of Illinois as a background on it. That ensures that at some point in time that ride has been inspected and everything was up to snuff, and it would be, not as risky to ride on it.
All right. Thomas Coe is Chief Ride Inspector at the Illinois Department of Labor. Thomas, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
I appreciate you having me.
And that is all the time we have for our show today. Before we go, I do want to urge you to visit our website. There you can find links to our past segments as well as links to what we were talking about today if you want to read more about it. That's 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can also subscribe to our podcast, or you can find us on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, Overcast, Stitcher, Spotify, basically anywhere you get a podcast, you can find us. Just search for The 21st, The21ST. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.